Hey, True North. It is so good to be with you again this week. Man, we have had a great series, haven't we, on the series called Keep Hope Alive. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed just hearing these messages and kind of digging deep into what does it mean to have hope as a follower of Christ and really kind of defining it, right? And I want to encourage you, if you haven't seen these messages, or if you've missed a few, please jump online to truenorthpgh.org and take a look at those. And so this week, we're wrapping up the series. This is week five. And in the series, just as a quick recap, you know, we've talked about, you know, first of all, our living hope, the just Jesus Christ, the center of all of it, right? He is our living hope. He is the epitome of the hope that we have as followers of him. And then we transitioned into the hope that we have of eternity, you know, spending our eternity with our Father God in heaven. And just pausing there for a minute, you know, every once in a while I try to encourage myself to just focus on that. You know, it's so hard, isn't it, to in our day-to-day to focus on everything but, right? We've got things to do, we've got responsibilities. But just to, as you're meditating on the Word, and you're praying, I want to challenge you to you know, focus on the amazing hope that we have of an eternity with our Father God in heaven. And what the Word of God says, even though it's a little bit of what heaven is like, is truly phenomenal. And if we can pivot our perspective on that hope that we have, it's phenomenal. It's perspective changing. And speaking of perspective, then week three, Justin talked about changing our perspective, right, from our problems and the challenges of day to day, and keeping that forward focus of our hope that we have in Jesus Christ and in our eternity in heaven. And then last week, the overflowing hope that we have, there's not a limit to it. God has proven time and time again that this well of hope is just unending. And so, you know, a perfect segue into this final week, because of this amazing hope, I want to focus today on spreading this hope, right? And my hope is to challenge you in this, you know, in spreading this hope, this amazing story that we have. You know, and thinking about this message, I started kind of wondering, why is it that some of us struggle with sharing that hope? You know, as followers of Christ, this amazing gift that's in front of us and in us, why do we struggle? Why do we even hesitate to share that hope? And, you know, I really think it comes down to kind of three different reasons why. Maybe there's more, but this first one really is something that fit for me for a while. And that's, I think the reason why I didn't share my hope very much is I just didn't want to rock the boat. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's so much division that's going on, right? And we like to say, like, well, in today's world, there's so much division, there's so much fighting, there's so much unrest. But you know what? I'm old enough that I can tell you that script has been going on for a while. You know, that's just the nature of sinful man, right? And the world, the broken world that we live in. And so, you know, not wanting to rock the boat, meaning, you know, I don't want to offend somebody, or I don't want to upset someone, or especially being in a corporation where there's seemingly rules around that, even though diversity is embraced, you know, there's always that, I just, you know, I'd rather not say anything than rock the boat. And, you know, over the years, I got more and more convicted about that, because God puts us where he wants us, right? You are in the place that he wants you for a specific reason. You are around people at work, in your neighborhood, in your day-to-day with intention, right? And so, and Jesus didn't take that approach of, I don't want to rock the boat. He literally rocked the boat, right? You know, Jesus was very upfront and said what needed to be said. And so, you know, I think as followers of Christ, maybe some of you can agree that that's one of the reasons why, you know, we struggle, I think, at times, or we pause to share the hope that we have. another reason why I think we struggle with sharing our hope is just fear. You know, in this Pittsburgh area, when I moved here years ago, I learned about Pittsburghese. And one of the terms, red up, came to mind when I was thinking about this. And, you know, I think, as followers of Christ, we feel like we have to red up our spiritual lives. Like we have to have everything in order. We have to have, this immense knowledge and experience before we could share our faith with anyone. You know, like, and that fear of, I don't know what I would say, or I don't know what I would respond to, you know, if I got a certain question or any question. You know, if they got me off script, even though I planned on it, I don't think I knew what would, I wouldn't know what to say. And I think that fear keeps us quiet as well. You know, and then thirdly, I really think it comes down to, and I know this could sting a little bit, but I think if we're honest with ourselves at times, we just don't care. You know, and that's hard to say, but maybe it's out of apathy. Maybe it's just out of just being tired of everything that's going on. I'm doing good enough just to focus on my own life than to worry about somebody else. Or maybe even disgust, if I can be so bold. You know, we work with people, or we live next to people where just the thought of sharing our faith with them, or even having a conversation with them, is something that we turn our nose up to. Because think about it. Sharing with somebody else the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is a powerful act of love, right? And so, you know, if we don't have that love and that burden for the lost, the hopeless, then it's going to keep us quiet too, right? And so I'm sure there's other reasons, but I think those are some that have come to mind for me. And so, you know, as we're getting into the scripture here, you know, think about, what about you? What are some of the reasons why you pause, if you do, to share the hope that you have, this amazing gift that God has given us? What's keeping you silent? My hope is, again, as we take a look at the scripture, just to encourage you through this. And so we're just looking at one passage today, but it's a powerful passage. This is found in 1 Peter 3:15. And if you're taking notes, please take a note of that. 1 Peter 3:15 is where we're going to spend some time. So it says here, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Wow. Let's unpack this, because a lot of great instruction just in this one verse, right? So first of all, always be prepared. You know, when I took just a few moments to think about preparedness, my mind right away went to firehouses. What they have to do to be prepared for a call, for a fire, is, in my mind, the epitome of preparedness, right? And I did a little bit of research, and firehouses have what's called it's called turnout time. And what it is it's a measurement from the time that the firehouse is dispatched to when they report back that they're responding. And I was astonished to see that 80 seconds is the target for turnout time for a firehouse. 80 seconds. So think about the preparedness that they have to respond that way. Start with the truck. It's got to be serviced and running well, full of gas, ready to go, right? If it's a water truck, it has to have water in it. And then the firemen. You know, I've seen where, I don't know if they all do this, but I've seen it where the firemen, they'll line up their boots and they've got their pants kind of stuck in them, so all they got to do is basically jump in them, throw on the straps, coat, hat, go. You know, and so 80 seconds makes a lot of sense. And so what an amazing picture of preparedness, right? And so, you know, I started thinking about this passage, always be prepared. What kind of readiness would we need to go through? What kind of preparedness would we need to kind of instill in us to be ready for that conversation? So only you can answer that. But some of the things that I've done is, you know, I've intentionally thought through what would that conversation look like, right? And, you know, have I written it down? In years past, I have. I don't have something stuck in my wallet of my crib notes of what I would say. But I'll tell you what, when those conversations happen, when those opportunities have happened for me, it's so awesome where, you know, what Scripture tells us is true, that God steps in and He says what He's going to say, right? And so that preparedness is not something we should fear, like, well, I need to deposit all this knowledge of the Word of God into me. Now, let me give you a caveat. We need to spend time in the Word of God, right? Because when we do that, that Word will come to our remembrance, and we'll quote those Scriptures when we're having that conversation. And it's a powerful experience to have that. So that's crucial for us to continue to lean into the Word of God, to be a student of the Word of God always till the last breath, because those Scriptures will come to mind when we are having those conversations, when God puts that situation in front of us. And it's so exciting when that happens. And so it's that preparedness from the Word of God standpoint, but also in prayer, right? To be praying for and asking God for those opportunities. Tell you what, another transparency, it took me a long time in my faith walk to ask God for those opportunities. And to be honest with you, the reason why was because I was afraid that He would answer that. Like, I'm not going to ask Him for this because it scares me to death to have those conversations. And so I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to be praying every single day. Ask God to put those situations in front of you. And so, and He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll put those conversations in front of you and get you involved in those. And to take that perspective of, well, I'm just going to sit back and wait, you know, and wait for those conversations to happen. God will make that happen. He'll bring that person by my path. You know, we'll cross paths when he deems it necessary. That's true. But if our attitude is, I'm just going to wait and see, I'm just going to kick back and wait and let it come to me, not prepare, that's not the perspective to take, right? We need to be aggressively ready for that, to expect it, because that's our calling, right? The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So we need to change that perspective and look for it, to want it, to be excited for it, and to be prepared for it. And so moving on into this scripture, and I'm telling you what, this next piece to me is really the golden nugget of this scripture. So again, just starting at the beginning, you know, it says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have." So now I want to focus on this, to everyone who asks. You know, and again, thinking about this, have you ever met somebody that was new to you and it wasn't long and you started thinking to yourself, I wonder if they're a Christian. I wonder if they know the Lord, because you're starting to pick up on some cues, right? Maybe it's how they speak and their positivity, just their general love for people, their care for others, some of the things that they say and some of the things they do, or maybe a lot of things they don't say and do. And you start to pick up on that, and you kind of start watching it, and you keep thinking, I wonder if they're, I'll bet you they're a follower of Christ, right? You know, I'm sure all of you can think of times when you've kind of gone through that. And so being on the receiving side of that, that's the goal that we should all have, right? That someone will notice that fruit in us. You know, on the bottom line, the golden nugget to me, at least in this scripture, is this part right here. To have a shareable hope, guys, we need to have a seeable hope, right? To have a shareable hope, we need to have a seeable hope. That the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in this eternity in heaven with our Father God, the hope that we have that when life throws us just the challenges, you know, that we have this perspective of, no, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I have a hope in Him. I have this amazing gift that's waiting for me, eternity. I didn't do anything to earn it. It was a free gift that my Father God gave to me. you know, and it's over and abundant, overflowing, never stopping. You know, to have that perspective front and center in our minds will just ooze out of us, right? It should, in our conversations, in our demeanor, in our responses when things happen in our day-to-day lives, it should just be so evident. That fruit should just be hanging off of the branches, right? And so, again, to have a shareable hope, we've got to have a seeable hope. And I kind of hang my head when I think about, for me, many years ago, I was working at this company, and I'd been there for several months. And in one off conversation with a handful of employees, I had mentioned something about our church. And I clearly remember it right now as if that man was standing right here next to me. I remember him saying, "Wait a minute, you go to church? No way, I would have never guessed that." And that was so painful to hear. It really was, because I had been the kind of person, apparently, all those months at that company that had zero fruit. And so that's not the kind of life that I want to live. I want to be able to show fruit of that hope that we have. And so, again, to have that shareable hope, guys, we have to have a seeable hope. And so and the last part of this scripture, again, is so powerful, but I want to read it all again one more time. 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And so that last part is what I want to focus on now. And again, I guess sadly, as followers of Christ, I think we could probably think of examples where we as Christians kind of get this part wrong, right? Sometimes we share the truth of God's word, but not with gentleness and not with respect. We deliver it wrong. We throw our indignation and our judgment and things like that to do it wrong. And again, you know, thinking through this, my mind quickly went to Jesus' example when he was talking to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And I'm sure you know that story, but he's having this conversation in John chapter 4 with this woman. And of course, Jesus being Jesus, he knew her story. He knew that she was an adulterous woman. And if you'll take a look at John chapter 4 with me, just kind of the timeline of this, I'm going to flip it around a little bit. So down in verse 18, Jesus at this point, he's been talking with her ahead of this, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But in verse 18, he calls her out, you know, and says, "The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man that you're with now is not your husband." And so he knew this. He knew this whole time that she was an adulterous woman. But what did he start out with? What was his conversation with her prior to that? Back up into verse 13 and 14, and Jesus is showing kindness to her and gentleness. And he's sharing with her the hope that that she has available to her of this living water, right? And so he's talking about the water. She's talking about the water at the well, the physical water. He's talking about the eternal, the living water, right? And so even though he knew who she was, he approached her and had this conversation with her with love, right? He shared this hope of eternal life with his Father, with our Father, God. And so a great example here of how Jesus didn't start calling out her sin right away. He started out with that gentleness and love. And so, you know, it's a strong calling, but when we have this shareable, this hope that we have, when we see an opportunity or we're given an opportunity to share our faith story and to share everything that God has done in our lives, and to build this amazing testimony to this person, right, of the hope that they have available to them as well. We need to do it in a way that's gentle and respectful, and that all comes fueled from love, right? Not indignation and judgment and correction, but that gentleness and respect that we're told to over in 1 Peter. And so, you know, it's such a powerful scripture that I want to encourage you to just to meditate on it. And so let me leave you with a challenge. And again, this small little scripture really preaches for itself, doesn't it? And so my challenge really is the three parts we've already talked about. And number one, get prepared. If you don't feel like you're prepared to have that conversation when it's made available to you, instead of choosing silence, instead of choosing apathy or giving into the fear, right, or not wanting to rock the boat, but taking up that opportunity, get prepared for it, right? Pray about it. Ask God to give you wisdom. And write it out. Write out your approach. Write out what you would say. Right. Write out some key scriptures that were huge for you. Right. How the Word of God came alive for you, and how you chose to give your life to Jesus Christ. Give some intention to that and be prepared. And know also that God will show up, and He will give you the words to say. But we need to do our part. We need to be prepared. And like I said before, the number one way that we can all be prepared is to daily spend time in the Word of God. We need to. The more we discover the personality of our Father God, the more that we see the ministry of Jesus Christ through the Scripture and realize that in the beginning, the Word, Jesus Christ, was there. The whole story through the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, is there right in front of us. And so it's a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful timeline, and it's something that we should be prepared to share. And the more we spend time in the Word of God, the easier it's going to be to do that. So be prepared. And secondly, like we talked about, have a noticeable hope. Be someone that someone would ask. And like I said, to have a shareable hope, we need to have a seeable hope. And so be bold in your conversations. Be bold in your actions and how you live your day-to-day, and show that fruit, right? Probably hundreds of times as a child, I sang that song, you know, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let my light shine, you know, that song. And so, that applies here, right? Let your light shine, have a seeable hope, a noticeable hope, be someone that someone would ask, hey, what's different about you, or however they ask it. And then lastly, make sure that when you share this hope that you have, you do it with gentleness and respect. And so, you know, I've said it to a lot of people, and I think I may have said it on previous messages, that, you know, when God gives us an opportunity to be in a relationship with people at work and our neighbors and whomever, you know, we should have the goal to earn that opportunity to share with them. And a few months ago, I had just the tremendous opportunity to experience that, where someone I worked with, or still do, a lot of conversations that happened ahead of time, you know, to just talking organically about my faith and my family, you know, how I spent my weekend, we're at church, and it's a new church, and just things like that. Just every opportunity to make it known, you know, that my faith is really important to me, and serving is really important. And wouldn't you know it, one day they reached out to me at work and said, hey, a friend of mine and I were talking about, you know, eternity, and I thought of you, and this is what we've said. What do you have to say about eternity? What do you think about it? I'm like, all right, here we go. And it was just like I said earlier, God stepped in, and, you know, scripture after scripture, and His words just flew through me. It was a beautiful moment. I was almost like third person in it, to be honest with you. And it was exciting. And it was an awesome opportunity. But I say all that to say they came to me and asked, and so they were ready for that answer. But we had built a relationship. We had that mutual respect. And I spoke to them out of gentleness. And since then, I've had two more opportunities. Again, you know, instigated by them. To continue this conversation. So I'm so thankful for that, and I want it more. But it wasn't too long ago where I feared it, or I was apathetic, or I didn't want to rock the boat, and just, you know, hoped that the opportunity wouldn't come to me, but if I needed to, I guess I would suffer through it, and hopefully God says what I need to say and I don't mess it up. It was a wrong perspective to have. And so again, focus on the fruit, right? Focus on having a seeable hope, and that will make sure that you have a shareable hope, right? It's just a beautiful partnership, a beautiful relationship. So guys, just thank you for hearing me out. Thank you for coming along with us in this awesome series called Keep Hope Alive. And what I'd like to do just to wrap up this series is just pray for you. So would you join me really quickly in a prayer as we wrap up this series? Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the amazing power that it holds. And God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for this amazing hope that we have in you. This a hope that we have to spend eternity with you in heaven. And though we don't understand it, we have faith, God, and we believe that your word is true. And God, we ask that you would just challenge us, that you would give us that burden to step out of our comfort zone, to be bold, and to share this hope that we have, and to start showing that fruit so that others would come to us. God, we trust you, and we put ourselves in front of everyone that you've put in our circles of life, and our work, and our neighborhood, just everyone in our families, that you would use us, God, as that light to share the hope that we have in you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, Father God, for the promises in it. In your name, amen. Guys, thank you so much. Please join us next week. We've got some amazing things that are coming. God is blessing True North, and we're so thankful that you're a part of it. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today, and we'll see you guys next week.